For the last several weeks, we have got together with the other two churches here on this street, and we have had what they call soup and the word, where we've got together on Tuesdays. We would meet at noon. We'd have a short devotions at the different churches, and then we would have soup together with sandwiches and things of that nature. It was great to get together with the other churches, but it was kind of like it is today. I've got both my 8:30 service and my 11 o'clock service here with other visitors and guests here. And sometimes, you know, the 8:30 service had a certain seat they would sit in. And 11 o'clock service would also have certain people that sat in certain seats. Today, you had to get here early unless you were in the choir to get your assigned seat. They already have theirs, and nobody takes their place unless you want to sing. But today, I'm looking at them, and I'm saying, okay, where's the person that's supposed to be sitting right here? And they're not there. So if I miss you somewhere over there, you're hiding from me. If you make faces, I probably won't know who you are. But it is good to see all of the families together. It's great to be able to see us together. It is great to see the house of God full this morning. As we look at the message of the empty tomb, I hope that this will be what it does, is it speaks to us this morning. As we observe and as we look, we see that Jesus died on that cross. He hung on that cross, and they took him down and they put him in a cave, in a grave, meaning that Jesus was dead. And as we think about that this morning, and because it was Jewish tradition, it was very important that his body be removed before sundown. And so the women had come to do that very thing, was to be able to take and go back into the tomb and anoint him and put the oils on him that needed to be done. And so they went back there, and as they went back, they were wondering, how in the world are we going to move this stone? How in the world are we going to roll it so that we can get in? Just enough to get in is all they needed. And as they got there, not only was it just cracked where they could get in, but it was rolled completely away from the opening. It was moved, and nobody seemed to know what happened. Nobody seems to know who moved it. And a lot of people have asked, well, who did it? Was it the Roman soldiers? No. Well, who was it? I can only come to one conclusion. It was God's angels that were sent. As you notice, there were two that were sitting there when they came in. It was they that moved it so that these women could come in. And so we see that as it was rolled away, the seal was broken, the soldiers were there guarding the tomb, and they didn't know how it was opened. Now, you know as well as I do, if you've gone down Interstate 81 going to Roanoke, or especially coming back, if you would stop and get caught in that traffic when they're blasting, you can hear stones when they hit the ground, can't you? It makes a loud noise. There is no way that you could take a stone and roll it away from a cave and Roman soldiers not hear it. Right? You're going to hear a stone being rolled. They didn't understand. They didn't even know it had been moved. So you begin to see and understand how much power God had and how much Jesus had over death. The cries echoed that day as he hung on the cross. He saved others, but he can't save himself. He performed miracles for others, but he couldn't perform a miracle for himself. That was not for him to do. That was not in God's will for his life, to perform those miracles for himself. But we do see that now that it's all over with, he is dead. We see that everybody was back to normal. The disciples are started wondering, was it worth it? Or was it not worth it to follow Jesus for 3 years? But we do see that death cannot hold him this morning. We celebrate that. A tomb of stone cannot imprison the mighty Christ that he was. Friday night goes by, Saturday night goes by, and Sunday morning comes, and early in dawn, some women take and go to the tomb. I enjoy mornings. I enjoy getting up just before the sun rises. And just before it rises, you can see the radiation of that sun coming up through the clouds, the sky. And then you can slowly see the sun begin to break over the top of the mountain. And I enjoy that time together. And so I can imagine, as these women got up, what they must have been thinking about and not having an opportunity to admire the beauty. They rushed into the tomb. It's empty. First thought was, well, maybe somebody stole his body. Maybe they took him so that they couldn't say he rose from the dead. All kinds of things were beginning. And then the message comes, why do you look for the living among the dead? Now, we've seen movies, we've seen TV series where people have been buried alive, but normally in the real life, how many people do you know that are buried or lives in a cemetery today? Living people do not live there, do they? They visit their loved ones that have been buried, but they don't live there. And so that was the question. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember, he told us that. And this is the greatest message in the world today. This is the message that we need to be preaching each and every day of our life. Jesus is living. Death cannot hold him. Where is thy sting? There is no sting because Jesus raised from the dead. The tomb is empty because Jesus arose and Jesus is alive today and forevermore. And we serve today. After he has ascended to the heaven, he is going to be with the Father. We serve a risen Savior today. We do not worship a dead God. He lives. And we sing that song. He lives. How do I know he lives? He lives within my heart. That's how I know. He lives within my heart. How do you know? He lives within your heart. He doesn't live in this church building. We lock the doors so that things can't be stolen. We don't lock Jesus into this church building, but we take him with us in our hearts. And he goes everywhere we are. And just as God was with him, Jesus has left the Holy Spirit with us this morning. So as we look at this, we see that some skeptics may try to say, prove it. Eyewitness accounts over time and time again have proven that Jesus was real. Jesus' hanging on the cross was real. Jesus' death was real. We saw leading up on Wednesday nights and through the Lenten services that Jesus was sentenced by Pilate. We know that the Roman soldiers said he was dead and they didn't break his feet. We know that even the disciples knew that he was dead. We knew that Pilate said he was dead. And we know that Joseph and Arimathea also knew he was dead because they wanted to take his body down. And so we know that that part of it so far is real. But we see here he appeared to Mary Magdalene. We see that he appeared to other women. We see that he appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24:15. He appeared to Simon Peter. He appeared to his disciples without Thomas. And then he appeared with the 11 in the upper room. He appeared at the Sea of Galilee and broke bread with his disciples. He appeared, according to 1 Corinthians 15:7, he appeared to 500 brethren. He appeared to James. Everyone was an eyewitness to the resurrection of Christ, that no one can question it. Even doubting Thomas didn't believe it until what? Jesus spoke to him and said, here, touch it. And then he believed. The change in the lives of the disciples is another proof. Here they were following Jesus. They were excited about what he was going to do. They were excited about him being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, taking over and knocking off the Romans. They were excited about all of that. And then he died, and it was kind of letting the air out. And now what was it? What do we do now? Do we follow? Do we continue? Do we go back to our old jobs? Do we go and hide? What do we do? And we know that later on the Spirit fell upon them and they spoke up and they began to preach and to share despite what the Romans had told them to do. They went into all kinds of places preaching with boldness and power the name of Jesus Christ. As we think about that today, as we think about this power and this boldness that they preach with, shouldn't we preach and teach and love with boldness and the power of Jesus Christ? There's nothing that can stand in the way. There's nothing Satan can do that can block anything that he can do to destroy if we claim that power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the threats of authorities such as Satan will flounder. Secondly, we see the teachings of the resurrection. It teaches that all the claims Christ made are true. He claimed to be God. In his resurrection, he proved that he was. That was hard for them to understand. It was hard for the Jews to understand. They knew a Messiah was coming, but they were not sure what it was going to happen. He claimed to be God, and he was. He proved it. He claimed to be fulfilling the prophecies. In his resurrection, he proved that he was the Messiah. He proved that he had power over life and death. He taught many strange and wonderful things. We see his miracles that he taught. We saw that the teachings that he did, walking on the water, the healing of sick, the casting out of demons. We see all of these things that he did. He promised eternal life to those who would trust in him. And we see that that is happening. Everything that he promised either has or will be promised, and the promise will be kept. He teaches us that we have a living Savior. You go to the grave of Muhammad, Confucius, Buddha, and any other religious leader that you may think of, and you will find that they are dead. They had been buried in a tomb, and that is where they still are. But with Jesus, we know that he was buried, and on the third day he arose, and there was no body in that tomb. So that is another fact that we have that says that we have a living God, a risen Savior. We need a living Savior, don't we? We need one to help us bear life burdens. We need to give up hope or give us hope when all around us seems hopeless. And if you look at this world, it is hopeless. There are so many things happening in our world that when we listen at news, we just get disgusted and our hearts just ache. Our stomachs turn with all of the stuff that goes on, the shootings and all of the things that we see that are happening. People walking in and just opening fire on people for no reason at all. And as we see these things happening, we need hope in a hopeless time in this world. We need a Savior, a living Savior, to intercede for us before a righteous and a holy God. And then finally, folks, we need to see the call of the resurrection. The resurrection calls us out of sin. That is the most beautiful thing that we can see this morning. We are sinners from the day of Adam and Eve until today. There is sin in life, and there's nothing we can do about it. We are going to sin. We have that nature to naturally choose the wrong things. We will sin. But because Jesus died on the cross, our sins have been washed away. Every Sunday should be Easter to a born-again Christian. Every day should be Easter for us, shouldn't it? Not just this one day, but each and every day of our lives, it should be an Easter time for us. And every Sunday should remind us that He is risen. And every day we are called upon to forsake and turn our backs upon sin. Think back for just a second, if you would. Maybe the time that you accepted Christ, and as you have grown in Christ, the sins that you committed then are not the same sins you commit now. And hopefully you're becoming more mature and you're not doing the same things you did before. The resurrection calls us into life of love and service. As Jesus arose from the dead, he gave this church a worldwide command to go and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're to go everywhere proclaiming the good news of salvation. We may not all be preachers. We may not all be singers. We may not all be missionaries and evangelists. But we are all called to share and to live a life for Christ. A life of love and service. That's what he's called us to do. And as this command, we are to follow the command that he's given us and do as he's done. This morning, do you know the resurrected power of Jesus Christ? Have you personally accepted his finished work on Calvary as payment for your sins? Have you asked him to forgive? Have you invited him into your heart? Do you know that you need him? You're looking and you're searching today for something. You're looking for some hope, but you don't know where to find it. It's not in alcohol. It's not in drugs. It's not in our jobs. It's not anywhere else. And you're looking and you can't find that satisfaction, that peace of mind. Then I challenge you this morning to search and look towards Jesus Christ. Perhaps I'm speaking to some today that have known him for a while. Maybe there's something in your life that you need to turn loose of today. Maybe this is the day that you need a fresh start. As we have our youth that are singing, I am so impressed with them at the 8:30 service. They not only pray, play, but they will pray. They will lead the services. They are committed to it. And we've got choirs. We've got musicians. They're all committed to playing for the very best they can for Jesus Christ. And that's great. What if we had that same commitment to serve our Lord as they did playing? As beautiful as that was, how beautiful would it be if people in this community saw the love of Jesus Christ in us? It would be like music, wouldn't it? I know that when I hear them playing and the different ones singing, I can close my eyes and God is just speaking to me. If we are loving and committed and serving God that same way, people could close their eyes and feel the love of Jesus Christ within us. Will you come this morning and humble yourself before God? Will you forgive and restore and see the joy of salvation? Maybe there is someone here this morning that needs to surrender their life to Christ, to serving Him. Come today. If the Lord is dealing with your heart about anything, this invitation is given for you this morning, that you may not leave here with it, but you leave with Jesus Christ, the joy, the hope, and the power. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning that you've given us. We thank you for this time that we've had to praise your name through songs, through music. We thank you for the testimony of those that are here today. And now, Father, as we've heard your word and we come to the close of this service, help it to be the beginning of a service that will last forever. Father, may each heart in this room be touched this morning in whatever way that needs to be touched, whether it's one for salvation, one that needs rededication, one that needs to forgive another, whatever it may we turn to you, seek your face, humble ourselves, and then we will know that our lives can be healed. We can serve you and others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.